Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
95.7 The Game, live and local. Now, it's Zachariah and the Guru.
Oh, yes. The man with the big voice. Told you, it's Zachariah and the Guru here on 95.7 The Game. 1 hour in the books. That leaves two-ish to go.
Wow.
Two-ish, Guru? Two-ish? Two-ish to go?
Could be less. Yeah.
The Dubs post-game show following the Warriors game will follow us, but we don't know when that's going to end.
It's kind of tight right now. Michael Jordan's across the board.
Not that you're watching, because you're focused 100% on this program.
Well, I am always.
And making this show the best that it can be.
Do you know what that means? Michael Jordan's across the board.
I don't.
23-23. Guess you had to grow up in the hood.
That was good. We're going to get to some audio from Trent Dilfer. Look, I think he has a great football mind. He makes it no secret that he is tied into the 49ers organization.
Oh, okay.
And he praises them dearly. And I want to play some clips from his interview on with Pop and Lund /
I can't wait.
STD, because Steiny, Towny, and Dibley were filling in for Pop and Lund. So it was actually STD, even though it was the Afternoon Delight, which you can get an STD from an Afternoon Delight. So I guess it was fitting, right?
Never had one.
Okay. All right.
I'm proud of it.
Just oh, yeah. Pass away from
well,
that
I don't
one.
Need to knock on wood either. It's over.
The point is, they had an interview today, and I want to play some clips from it, and I want to ask Niners fans, how many of the things that Trent Dilfer said do you agree with? That's what I want to know. So if you're a Niners fan, I'm going to play that for you. Some people still want to weigh in on the Warriors and the reason that you and I have been trying to figure out.
Fascinating, man.
In terms of why the hate, not only with the media or the fans or anything like that, but the actual contemporaries, the people that play within, what do they call it? What do they call it?
Peers.
Fraternity. Not a union. Fraternity. It's a fraternity. It's a fraternity of brothers.
But I don't see that hate. You know, who cares? I don't
you
see.
You just said yeah, but the BET Awards. LeBron saying they're fortunate for
nobody standing by something that's so, you know, not offensive, but like, whoa.
And then Steve Palazzolo, senior analyst at Pro Football Focus and contributor to ESPN.com, will join us at 8:30. But if you want to join in, either on the Niner Talk now before I even play the clips, or the Warrior Talk, you may do so. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, text line 95795. Let's start with Josh in Oakland. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
You know, I think the hate for Steph Curry strictly comes from him being the best, man. I mean, when you at the top, people find situations and things to poke at. People didn't like LeBron. People didn't like Jordan, Kobe, so on and so forth. As far as the Silver Spoon comment, I feel like it's trade-offs with both of those situations. When you got a guy who has a Silver Spoon in his mouth, he might be more technically sound and more skilled than a guy who wasn't well off. But where does his drive and his passion come from? You know what I mean? When you got everything, when your mom is good, your pops is good, you have everything in a household, it's easier to say, well, I don't really got to push myself this hard. Where you got a guy who don't have anything, who's probably going to work harder than that technically sound guy. But where Steph is special is he's found that drive and he's combined that with that skill in order to make himself the best player in the NBA. Now, I've seen Steph Curry certain times kind of defer and fall off, though, and kind of get into that same sentiment that I was talking about where it's like, well, we already did this and that, and who's the guy that reels him in? Draymond Green. Draymond Green comes from a situation, I'm pretty sure, where he was harder than Steph Curry. I remember a game where Steph was kind of lagging, and Draymond had to tell him, Steph, come on, let's get it popping, because Draymond Green has that drive. And you combine those two elements, you got the Golden State Warriors.
Thank you for the phone call, Josh.
Great call.
And Guru, you pointed that out to me.
He told him to snap out of it.
Snap
he inbounded the ball.
Need you.
Because I don't know if it's not many times.
Was that the Cavs game?
No, it was the it was before that, but
okay.
he told him to like basically snap out of it. But you know, Steph will go in a zone, Zach, to where he's not demonstrative, and it can seem like he's sulking.
Utah game?
It was the Utah game.
Gotcha.
And, yeah, that was a good job. And,
I looked at the schedule.
No, it was Milwaukee. When Milwaukee would look like
oh,
they were
the second time they came back.
Oh, yeah, when they came back.
All right.
But, that was a great call, and it's true.
It is true. Daryl the Guru Johnson, Zachariah, 95.7 The Game. Taking your calls at 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, text line 95795. Guru, no doubt that being good leads to hate. I mean, that is a...
Thank you.
Okay, that's natural. I totally agree with that. What I'm asking you for is other examples when people questioned winning the title. When was the Lakers' titles questioned? When did they say, ah, oh, they got lucky because Shaq and Kobe were healthier, they had an easy route to the championship, or this, that,
now,
whatever.
Now you got something. I can't the give Bulls, you anybody.
Sure, the hate is going to come from probably even the media, but definitely the fans. I want to know when other players in the league, the fraternity, the union of brothers, I want to know when they questioned the titles, because that's what we've seen.
And you know what makes it worse is, you know, it's not a Super Bowl where one game and fluke things can happen. It's a best of seven.
There is no sport
okay,
where
you're going to find out who the better basketball team is.
Where a truer champion is crowned.
That's all? You can't give me any fluke
in basketball,
NBA champion.
Seven game series. There is no dispute.
It's jealousy, Zach.
Even in baseball.
It's jealousy.
You could say, oh, well, they only play two rounds before they get to the World Series.
Arizona beat New York way back when.
And the first round was a five game series. I mean, there's a lot of different ways where you can argue, but basketball is more often than not the best team in the NBA wins the NBA championship.
Without a doubt.
Let's go to Shyster. That sounds questionable. Shyster in Union City. Go ahead, Shyster.
This Shyster. I'm up here in Oracle Arena right now.
Are you a Shyster?
No, that's my name, man.
Okay. Are you actually calling from the Warriors game?
Yeah, I'm in Oracle, man. They didn't let me in.
Oh. So you're not in Oracle.
Why they didn't let you in? Why didn't they let you in?
Because I smelled too much like the marijuana, man.
Wait, so you had a ticket, but you smelled like weed, so you couldn't get in?
Nah, but you know what? I still love my team, the Warriors.
Okay.
Do your ass kicking in now.
Do you have anything to contribute other than that amazing story?
No, man. I love my teams, man.
Okay. Thank you, Shyster. Appreciate the phone.
Of all cities.
Smoking weed.
No,
Oakland is the one
weed.
That will bypass. Did somebody? They must have caught him smoking it because you see what happens at halftime of the Raider game.
Okay,
so I'm
first
sure
of all, every Raider A's Warriors game is a full blown hot.
I don't know if we
session.
Can believe that call, Zach.
I don't smoke weed. I catch contact high.
Sir,
going
can we
to
talk
work.
To you? You smell like marijuana.
I got to do the
you
A's pregame, and
you
I'm like
get high?
Half high just from walking from my car to the press box. Anyways, he didn't answer my question.
Yeah, and it didn't sound like he was at Roark.
Did he have a ticket and they didn't let him in?
I don't think that's a lot of shtick.
I don't think he's the only guy. Yeah. Let's go to Rich in Los Altos. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, guys. I'm really liking the show. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
A lot of this Steph Curry talk sounds really a lot like everyone was talking about Kobe a few years ago, except for the racial part, the lack of thugness or whatever. But to me, I mean, I'm the biggest Steph fan there is, man. I think he's definitely one of the top three dudes right now, definitely. But I think one little problem that rubs people wrong maybe is when he just seems like he might be getting progressively, I don't want to say cocky, whatever the word below cocky is, his body language, his gestures and stuff, just, and I like him, and maybe it's necessary, but it seems like I said, the progression of it, I think it makes it a little less genuine. I mean, it's natural. I don't want to bash him, sounds like I am, but anyway, that thing. And plus to me, the fact that to me, the reason I won't say he's the best, he's deadly and he's awesome, but basically if he's not shooting, he's not the best player anymore. He's really great at other stuff, but, you know, he can't do the other stuff to make him the best player in the world anymore. Mm. Where, you know, other guys, you know, anyway, I don't want to know other names. So anyway, that's my thing.
Sorry.
Once again, I'm not bashing him. I love him. So.
All right.
And
thank you, Rich.
We appreciate that hot dog, the Ricky Henderson. It falls under that category. Steph has it, and he's always had it, but he's getting a little more, you know, like Christmas. He'll hit the chest and do the little, you look at me.
I don't want to look at you.
You know, he'll do that.
I'm talking to you for 4 hours. That's enough. I don't need to look at you while
we're
doing it. No, it's not. All right, coming up next, if you want to jump in on the Warriors stuff, you may do so. I also want to play some audio for you from Trent Dilfer, who was on these airwaves. And I want to know, Niners fans, of the things that I'm going to play for you, how many things do you agree with? Seriously. Because I was listening and I'm like, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. And I respect Trent Dilfer. More than
I can't wait to hear it.
More than probably 95% of the people that talk about football. If you listen to him, he's got a
beautiful... Well, he played the game.
What do you call me, Russell Crowe? He's got a beautiful mind.
I used to, yeah.
Nah, you haven't done that in a while. You know, the love has worn off. It's been almost three plus years now. Yeah, we hate each other now. But you used to call me a beautiful mind. He's got a beautiful football mind.
He cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
Not one of his best moments there. But in general, you can tell he watches the tape and he breaks down the game.
Oh, no, he knows
better than
it.
Most people. So I want to play you some things that he said today. And I want to know from Niners fans at 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. 570 text line 95795. How many of these do you agree with? That's coming up next. Daryl the Guru Johnson, Zachariah, 95.7 The Game.
You're listening to the Guru and Zachariah on 95.7 The Game.
Unbelievable, the things that you say in the commercial breaks. Coming up at 8:30, Steve Palazzolo, my Italian brother.
I was going to say, related to you?
Probably not.
Palazzolo.
He's Italian, I'm Italian, so I guess we're all related in some form or fashion. Senior analyst at Pro Football Focus and contributor to ESPN.com. He will join us. Zachariah, Daryl the Guru Johnson, 95.7 The Game. Right now, I want to get to some audio from Trent Dilfer on the 49ers. And I'm asking Niner Empire right now, how many of the things that I'm going to play for you do you agree with? Am I being a media bashing hater, or am I right in thinking that nothing that we're about to hear? And again, I cannot emphasize this enough. I respect Trent deeply.
Immensely.
I think he's got a fantastic football mind, but I want to know. I do. They were on earlier. They call it the STD. Steiny, Towney, and Dibley. They were filling in for Pop and Lund.
That was all three.
Trent joins Pop and Lund every Monday. Okay. Yeah. So he was on there, and they, you know, they were talking about Peyton Manning, PEDs. We haven't even gotten into that.
I'm going to listen on my way home.
We probably should the 9 o'clock hour. But, you know, and then they started asking about the Niners. Everybody knows Trent Dilfer has friends in the Niners organization. He prefaced everything that he said with that. Not sources. I mean, basically, you can just say he's best friends with probably York and Balky, right? I mean, who else in the organization is he really tight with? Probably those two guys.
Right.
Regardless, let's start with him. He refrains from criticism of the Niners front office because of his friendships with the front office. Then he goes in to say other things. And I want to know, as a Niners fan, if you're listening to this, whether or not you agree with what you're hearing.
I purposely try to stay uninvolved in those things this type of year. I've been very honest and transparent that I'm friends with people in the organization, and out of respect to them, I'm not calling them on a Tuesday afternoon and ask them what's wrong and what they're going to do. I think there's enough of that media stuff that goes on that doesn't help the organization. I do believe that Jed has the right intentions for the organization. I know he's been vilified in the media and other places, but knowing him like I do, I really believe he's got a plan and an idea how to get this franchise back to glory. I believe Balky is one of the better personnel guys in football and has proven that over the course of his time there. They've made some mistakes. They've had some unfortunate things happen with players leaving. I don't know enough to know about the coaching staff, and it's been 1 year. It's a very small sample size, so I don't presume to know what they're going to do, what they're thinking, if it's going to be status quo and use the patience model, or if they're going to make a change. I really don't know the answer to that.
There you go.
And yeah, that sound is friendly.
The part that I want to know is that he said Trent Baalke has proven that he is one of the better personnel guys in the NFL. Now, I know people think I've got a hair up my you-know-what about Trent Baalke, and I do not. I'm just looking at the talent that's on the field and knowing that he's responsible.
Oh, you see some?
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't.
And look, we'll ask Steve in the next segment about, you know, how many guys on this team are guys that you can build around that are keepers.
Yeah.
Trent Baalke's been the GM for so many years now that he is now responsible for every player that takes the field, and this team stinks.
And you know how much pressure is on Baalke for this draft, to where you got to fill 100 holes in one draft? That doesn't happen. It's unrealistic.
Yeah, it takes
so
time.
So you're behind the eight ball, and you deserve to be stripped of your title.
Guru Zachariah, 95.7 The Game. Niners fans, hearing that, do you think that Trent Baalke is one of the better personnel guys in the league and that he has proven that? 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, text line 95795. Also within that, Guru, he said that he knows York, and he knows that York is working tirelessly to get this team back to the level that it's supposed to be. And look.
And what the hell can he do but make personnel decisions about his coaching staff? The draft's not tomorrow. And you got to watch another game.
He's not even the guy making the draft picks. He is, I mean, he's the CEO. He determines who makes the draft picks, but he doesn't make the draft picks. He determines who coaches the team, but he doesn't coach the team. I'm not questioning York's work ethic. He did a lot of things to get that billion-dollar, $2 billion stadium built down at Levi's. He's got concerts there. He is clearly a successful businessman. But I do wonder whether or not he knows football. And the bottom line is he can work tirelessly. Look, your car broke down, right? You need me to fix your engine and fix your brakes. I could work.
How much you talking?
I could work tirelessly to fix your car, but I'm not a mechanic. I didn't go to school for that. So I could work as hard as I want and have my heart in the right place to want to fix your car. It doesn't mean that I'm going to fix your car because I'm not a mechanic.
My dad always said, never mistake activity for achievement.
Let's hear Trent Dilfer on Blaine Gabbert.
I think Blaine Gabbert has at least allowed the quarterback position to have some stability. I think he's a guy that most likely will open next year as opening day starter and a guy that continues to get better and shows promise and you can run a functional offense around him.
Okay.
Wow.
If you're a Niners fan and you've been watching since Blaine Gabbert took over for Colin Kaepernick.
What water hole are they at or is he at?
Provides stability for the quarterback position. Will probably be the starter next year.
At a default.
Keeps getting better, and what? The part that kills me the most, Guru, shows promise?
Did Has you watch Blaine that Gabbert game yesterday, shown promise? That car wreck,
yes,
that train wreck?
Started
what is
off,
he talking
dude?
About? It always does,
two
though.
Touchdowns in the first three possessions.
A blind squirrel can you know?
Yeah. I mean, but shows Niners fans. Has Blaine Gabbert shown you promise? And then finally, here's Trent Dilfer being disappointed in watching the Niners play this year.
I've been incredibly disappointed. Watching this football team. I'm obviously a fan because I live in the Bay Area and thought that they were going to be better than they are. And I was very bullish week one when I called the Monday night game thinking this is a team that was going to be around 500. And if things went right, I could possibly contend for a playoff spot. And obviously I was tragically wrong there. But in this league, it's not feet, it's inches. Although it looks like yards many times, you're yards away from being good. You're really inches away from being good.
They're not inches. They are yards. It doesn't only seem like they're yards, Guru. They are yards. This team is not inches away from being good.
No. Why would you mouth that?
Let's get to the phone lines. Let's go to Tom in Point Richmond. Whoa. Go ahead, Tom.
How you doing? I disagree with what Trent Dilfer said about the 49ers. 100% he's wrong.
Okay, why?
Because they've been lousy. The whole team's a joke. They need to make fundamental wholesale changes to get back to where they should be, and what they are now is just really pathetic.
Yeah.
I don't think Blaine Gabbert is the answer long-term for his quarterback. They're going to have to make serious changes from the top on down to get this thing back on the right track. It's just the way it is, you know? I mean, they just have not been consistent. They've been so erratic, and that's why they are what they lost 11 games. And they're not representative of the NFL at all.
No doubt. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate the phone call. Look, we always talk about it. Two most important things to have a successful franchise: starting quarterback, head coach. Looks like they need a change at both.
Are you backing off of what you sold and have convinced me that Kaepernick may not be done? He could be rectifiable if they bring in a new coach. But now it seems that a new coach is not an option because all the reports are is going to come back and get another chance.
What's his name? Tom Sula? No, Tom Sula? That should be his first name.
Yeah.
Tom Sula. Tom Sula. Tom Sula.
Only 12 days of closeness from my brother. Yeah. He found it funny.
That's his middle name.
I don't know the facts.
I don't know the facts.
Like, why did you play that? I'm like, it was
I don't know the first thing about grass.
Fact. There's other great audio that I want to play from earlier today. But Niners fans, listening to all that, what do you agree with out of that?
Oh, it's a nightmare.
Do you think Trent Baalke has proven that he is one of the better personnel evaluators in the league? Do you think Tom Sula hasn't gotten a fair shake because of how many veterans left the team? Do you think Blaine Gabbert shows promise and can provide some stability? Do you think Jed York is working tirelessly to, you know, bring your organization back to where it's at? You tell me. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Text line is 95795. And we'll talk to Steve Palazzolo, senior analyst at Pro Football Focus and contributor to ESPN.com. He's coming up next. Daryl the Guru Johnson, Zachariah, coming back at you. 95.7 The Game.
You're listening to the Guru and Zachariah on 95.7 The Game.
Little Mac Dre for you. Welcome back, Bay Area. 95.7 The Game. I am Zachariah. He is Daryl the Guru Johnson. He looks like Denzel Washington. That's his doppelganger.
Yeah, I wish.
Who's my doppelganger again? You've compared me to every white person
tonight,
ever.
Tonight, it would be tonight right now with your gin and juice shirt, you know.
Gin I would and say busting me out, man. I have like a nice jacket on.
You're supporting Snoop Dogg.
Okay. You were talking about behind the scenes. Yeah. Now you're busting me out.
Well, I'll give it to you later.
All right, fine.
A little Ethan Hawke going on right now.
Ethan Hawke? He's what? Only person I've ever heard is James Franco. James Franco's the only one I've gotten more than once. Anyways, we'll figure that out. Coming up at 8:45, some people want to talk Niners. We will do so. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Text line 95795. Also, the sound clip guru, which I think most embodies Jim Tom Sula. And it came.
I can't wait.
After the Lions game. And I'm sitting there going, this is exactly why there's no reason why he should be coming back here. So we'll play you that.
We're past that.
888-957-9570. Right now, we are joined by Steve Palazzolo, senior analyst at Pro Football Focus and contributor to ESPN.com. Follow him on Twitter at PFF_Steve. Steve, how are you? You there? Steve? Pro Football Focus. We love the stuff that's going on over there. Steve, we got to start with the national story. The news kind of actually came down when me and my partner Guru here were on air on Saturday. And it obviously very shocking and, you know, with cameras and sent to the wife and all these sort of things that are not blatantly evidence to prove that he's done anything. But how shocked were you to see the news and to see it come down with a guy who's not only one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, a first ballot Hall of Famer, but also sort of an ambassador for the game?
Yeah, I mean, shocked initially, but then when you think about the timeline and his age and some of the, you know, the fact that his career was virtually over, it's not terribly surprising that he might be linked here. I know there's still plenty of questions as far as what exactly went down, who's telling the truth, but you know, it's kind of like what baseball went through, and you never want to see that, where baseball had every big star going through some kind of scandal, and you know, hopefully we'll avoid more of those with Brady going through his thing and now Peyton. So, you know, hopefully I don't want to see much come of it, but you know, there's still some questions to be answered, I think.
Steve, we're out here on the West Coast, as you know, a lot of excited Raider fans about their young quarterback, Derek Carr. But here recently, he's had some, I'll term them back-breaking interceptions. And, you know, a lot of people write that off as growing pains or whatnot. But I know you have a grading system in regard to, you know, his interceptions. How did Derek Carr fare on that system, your point system?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's had a really good season overall, and there have been a few interceptions, but I think, you know, if we look at some of the ones over the last few weeks, there have been some miscommunications and receivers falling down and various things like that that contributed to him. He's done a pretty good job of protecting the football. He's about middle of the pack in what we call turnover-worthy throws, where we'll give full blame for a pass that should be intercepted, whether it is or not. So he's right around the middle of the pack there. But I think the thing that's made him special this year is what I like to call big time throws, the throws that we'll give a much higher grade to. Ones like the pass that should have been the game winner, the corner route the other night against San Diego, just big accurate downfield throws. He's been doing it, and he's been taking advantage of having Amari Cooper and a rejuvenated Michael Crabtree. So I've been really impressed with what Carr's been able to do this season.
Now, the Raiders had three Pro Bowlers and then three alternates. How did the grades turn out for those six players, and do you think they were worthy of it? The three that got in, obviously Charles Woodson, Marcel Reese, who's not going to be able to go because he just got popped for steroids himself, and Khalil Mack, and then the alternates, just two alternates, Amari Cooper and Derek Carr.
Yeah, I mean, I'm good with Cooper and Carr. I think where they fell, I think, you know, Mack is in the conversation for defensive player of the year. So I think he's obviously in the mix. Our grading system has him off the charts, pass rushing against the run, doing it all. As far as Woodson, great in coverage this year. I mean, he's unbelievable at this age, being able to play the way he does. And it's a unique style that he plays, almost kind of freelancing and ad-libbing at times. But I think that's his being around since 1999, you know, in the league, or 1998. So I think he's been great, and I think, you know, he's made the big plays at the right time for a Raiders secondary that has been torched at times. But, you know, Woodson has played well, and then I think Reese always kind of gets the vote as just that versatile all-around threat, even though I know he's going through the suspension right now, and I'm okay with Reese. I love what Woodson's doing this year, though, and absolutely love what Mack's doing.
Steve Pozzolo, senior analyst at Pro Football Focus and contributor to ESPN.com, joins us. Guru and Zachariah here on 95.7 The Game.
Steve, I'm eager to ask you about the other former starting quarterback in the Bay Area, Colin Kaepernick. Do you think there's going to be a big market for him? And also, do you think he got a raw deal and there's something left for him to salvage?
Yeah, I've always been a bit of a Kaepernick apologist, maybe because I was so impressed with that initial, you know, start that he had in 2012, that Super Bowl run. It has been straight downhill since there, and I'm certainly disappointed in the lack of progression. But if you look at QBs around the league, and we see that Stephen Morris might be starting a game this weekend for the Colts. I mean, there are only 20 or so QBs that I would say have a job, you know, that are kind of locked in for next year, 20, 22, 23 QBs. So I think Kaepernick gets a shot. He has enough tools to work with. You have to build the offense around him. I think he has the running ability that you definitely want to use it, not completely rely on it, but use it. And I think he has that burst to avoid the big hits, which I think is the biggest thing about the QB running game. And then I know the Eagles are going to be probably searching again for a QB, and Kaepernick might be linked there, but I look at one thing that Kaepernick does really well is throws those deep crossing routes really accurately in the middle of the field, and that's something that the Eagles' offense opens up. So that very specific thing that Kaepernick does, I could actually see working well in Philly if Chip Kelly's still there.
Yeah, and Bradford turned down a contract. I could see Kaepernick flourishing in Philadelphia. Steve, for the listeners out there that don't know, profootballfocus.com, essentially, they do ratings. Zero is average, correct? Anything below that is below average. Anything above that is above average, right?
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah.
Okay.
So we have a new system we've thrown out to throw those numbers onto a 0 to 99 scale, with, you know, 100 being the best you can get.
Oh, when did that come down?
We just started that this year. There's kind of two systems morphing right now, and I think we'll just iron it out and go with one next year. But we have two of them living on the site, so that's a new subscription product that we started at the beginning of the year, the 0 to 99 grades.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, Steve, I'm sure you haven't examined every player on the Niners roster, but I'm just wondering, for the Niners fans out there that are down and out, and the team is giving them every reason to be, how many pieces are there? How many building blocks, based on the grades, whichever system, how many guys on the roster, and again, I'm sure you don't know the exact number, but how many pieces do you think they have moving forward for the future?
Yeah, it's tough right now. I mean, they've been so depleted. It's such a unique situation because I thought they were going to decline anyway because they were aging, and then all their stars end up retiring, or a number of them do. But I think Aaron Lynch has shown that he's a more than capable pass rusher. I think he's clearly their top guy off the edge. Eric Armstead's really surprised me a little bit. I had low expectations for him as a first rounder. I liked him more in the second or third round, but I think he's already started to live up to that potential, that huge size, playing pretty well. You know, Ian Williams at nose tackle has been one of the best or more underrated players in the league, especially over the last few weeks. So I think he's a pretty good, guy that you could plug into the middle of that defense. And then offensively, you stick with Joe Staley at left tackle, and Anquan Boldin's not necessarily a building block, but, man, he's still good even at, 13 or 14 years in the league. So And I like Carlos Hyde as well. So I think there are a few, but there's certainly a lot of work to be done. I mean, that's the Niners are a team that just needs to load up on draft picks, bring a ton of talent in there, and start the rebuild.
Steve, when Kaepernick went out, the Niners' offense was so stagnant, it wasn't getting anything done. I saw a little spark from Blaine Gabbert and the offense, but the last four or five games has just been terrible. How has Blaine graded out in your system?
Yeah, it's exactly as you described. You had two positives the first couple games and then negative grades in three of the last five, and the other two have been very very average. I think Blaine is what he is at this point. I think he set expectations so low back in 2011, his rookie season, and then 2012 got a little bit better. 2013 struggled and lost his job in Jacksonville. So I think he just really set expectations so low. Kaepernick was struggling so much. Gabbert did improve the offense to a point, but I really don't think he's a long-term answer. I think he showed this year he's a guy that's a capable backup. He can come in and put together a couple of good games for you, but I don't see him as much more than that.
Who's your MVP? I would assume Cam Newton and Carson Palmer would be sort of going toe-to-toe for it. Who does Pro Football Focus have as their NFL MVP this year?
We're really split internally. I think a lot of us are on the Carson Palmer bandwagon. I would vote for him if I had one. I don't want to take anything away from what Cam's done. He's been outstanding. I think people are sleeping on Brady just a little bit, forgetting just how good he's been this season because his stats have tailed off a little bit since he lost some of his playmakers. But if you look what Carson Palmer's done on a throw-for-throw basis this year, just incredible. Downfield accuracy is off the charts. I think he's been the best QB in the NFL, so I'd give it to Carson.
Steve Palazzolo, senior analyst at Pro Football Focus, contributor at ESPN.com. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at PFF_Steve. Steve, thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Love that stuff over there. I got to get dialed up on that.
I like that system. That's the guy that needs to go to the post game shows. The interception wasn't actually Zachariah's fault. It went off the guru's hands. And
I like that comparison.
Yeah.
That's the best analogy ever.
Look at him. His eyes
I threw the ball. It was a dime. It hit off a guru's hands. The other team took
it
to the house.
People. It is
That's
true.
Not on Zachariah. Yeah. Coming up next, if you want to weigh in on what you heard and anything Niners related, you may do so. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, text line 95795. Also, some audio guru that sums up why you just can't bring Tom Sula back next year. We'll have all of that next. Yeah. No, not that one. That's a pretty good one, but that was before he had coached a game. This is after a game.
I don't know the facts.
Fact. You also don't know the first thing about grass.
Oh, I love it.
We'll get to that next. Daryl the Guru Johnson, Zachariah, 95.7 The Game.
You're listening to the Guru and Zachariah on 95.7 The Game.
Dwan came in, stepped up, ran the ball well. Jared Hain stepped up, ran hard, caught the ball in the backfield. Trent Brown came in against a tough defensive front and held his own. And those are the positives that we saw as an offense. But there's no moral victories in the National Football League. We got to find a way to get wins.
I don't even know a name he just said. Can we play that again? Please list off the names that this guy just read off. Please, one more time for me.
Dwan came in, stepped up, ran the ball well. Jared Hain stepped up, ran hard, caught the ball in the backfield. Trent Brown came in against a tough defensive front and held his own. Those are the positives that we saw as an offense. But there's no moral victories in the National Football League. We got to find a way.
No Frank Gore. No Vernon Davis. No
Crabtree. They don't have a core player. They gave out the
Aaron Lynch.
Like I said, to me. They don't have a core player. Bowman doesn't count.
Bowman doesn't count?
He's already in the dark.
Carlos Hyde?
Dude, this guy's Tony Dorsett, but he's yet to play. He's always hurt.
Violently.
I like drones. I like seeing what.
I like drones too, yeah.
But Hyde is like just the boogeyman.
I mean, that actually should have been what I was teasing in terms of the quote, because that said everything right there. The guys he listed off. That were the positives are guys that probably 95% of the Niners fans listening right now have never heard of. Welcome back, Bay Area 95.7 The Game. Daryl the Guru Johnson, Zachariah, taking your calls. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Text line 95795. Coming up at 9 o'clock. We haven't touched on it, Guru.
I'm ready.
Suspension. I'll put it like this. We're going to talk PEDs, but we're not talking Peyton Manning. Is that a close enough
and
teaser?
You know, we're men of the people. The guy that took the Warriors minus 13 may be a little nervous, and I think you might have jinxed him.
Oh, you're putting it on me?
Down at the half.
Oh, now who's the Leon?
No, well, you said it. I thought you were comfortable with
I don't even know what game you're talking about. You're watching two games.
The Kings have a game tonight.
I have
tonight,
one
Sacramento.
Game, and it's called this show.
If me you too, baby.
Your eyes are either on the left. We have two TVs in the studio. Maybe Aaron can take a picture and tweet it out. We have two TVs in the studio. Guru is either over there on the left or over there on the right. He is never
Oh, you want me to Google eyes, googly
me.
Eyes
yeah,
with you?
Like, yeah, focus on the show with me. With me. Anyways, I will get to the quote from Tom Sula, which I think pretty much sums
it was a bad one.
His regime up. But I also, looking at everything that's going on between the front office. Let's start with not the ownership. Remember, Jed York is the CEO.
Okay.
The CEO, the GM, the coaching staff. Then we can start talking about the players on the field, right? I mean, they're responsible for what happens there.
And I think all three are problematic. It's just devoid of talent.
York is responsible for who picks the players that play on the field. Balky is mainly responsible for who coaches the players that he puts on the field. And then the coach is responsible for how the players play on the field. That is the line. Okay. That is the totem pole. York is at the top.
But they're supposed to
Balky is right below.
Yeah.
Tom Sula is below that. Then you have all the players.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be intertwined. You're supposed to have, you know what I mean? You're supposed
to be in a perfect world.
Yeah, Harbaugh world. But obviously, they're just telling, hey, Tom Sula, this is what you got. Make it work. Be happy you got a job.
In the Harbaugh world, you still had that same succession between the owner, GM, and coach.
Even though they hated each other, they were, you know, they respected him.
Or
the
coach was that much better.
You're right.
Although they did
there's no doubt
they
was.
They did go 8-8 last year.
And it felt like 2-14, didn't it?
Well, compared to what he had done before.
Yeah, that's all.
In Harbaugh's first 3 years, they had less losses than the Niners have right now.
That says a whole lot.
That's not good. Daryl the Guru Johnson, Zachariah, 95.7 The Game, taking your calls. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Let's get to the audio clip from Tom Sula after the game, which to me summarizes his entire year of coaching in one, how long is it? 10 seconds in one 10-second clip.
Here we go.
Let's hear from Jimmy Tommy Sula.
I don't know that they were a step ahead. I mean, obviously they were a step ahead. We weren't getting things done the way we needed to. But there's a couple of key plays in a run game that we didn't get done. Yeah, in the passing game, we've got to get the protection shirt up and then make the play on the ball.
All right. The last part I don't care about. The first part, Guru, can you explain to me how you can have an answer that is, I don't know that they were a step ahead. I mean, obviously they were a step ahead.
Does that mean prepared?
Am I nitpicking here?
No, you're not. This is one of the worst teams in the NFL.
I don't know that they were a step ahead. I mean, obviously, they were a step ahead. What is that? I mean, how can you
want to hear it again?
Sure. Just play the beginning. Or not. Hey, Aaron, can we play the beginning?
I don't know that they were a step ahead. I mean, obviously, they were a step ahead.
Right there. That's it. That's all I need.
That's a new one. Yeah. A new song.
That's a new drop. Cut that up. Make it a drop. Put it in the Tom Sula folder.
Wow.
I don't know that they were a step ahead. I mean, obviously, they were a step ahead. I got nothing for that. Let's go to John and Antioch. Go ahead, John.
Wow.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I got about four quick points. As far as your original question was, what do we agree on with Trent Dilfer? I got to say, he's a bad friend. Because I'm sorry, but when my friends are messing up and my people are doing wrong, I'm the first one to let them know and tell them and hold them accountable myself. So, he doesn't want to sit there and tell everybody how it really is. He's just biased, so he's not really going to tell the truth and trial honesty. And as an analyst and somebody who's supposed to do that as their job, that he kind of lost credibility with me there. As far as it goes with Trent Baalke, definitely not one of the great personnel people in the league at all. If you look at teams like the Arizona Cardinals, you look at the New England Patriots, their GMs have got them to where they can live by the next guy up. They've had injuries. They've had all these things, yet they still continue to come out and get W's all the time. As far as Blaine Gabbert goes, nothing but, again, he came out great for the first game or so, and that was it. And, I mean, that's what it was going to be anyways, and we should have known that. He's definitely not a full-through quarterback that we can rely on. And my final point is, when they were looking for a coach and it was coming out, I remember reading a couple of reports about Mike Holmgren, and I just read a report again today about Mike Holmgren.
No, no.
And so my thing is, I don't know if maybe that this was the plan the whole time. Mike Holmgren said he wanted another year off before he wanted to come and coach. But if that's so, I mean, they could have just told the truth and told us that from the go and just let us know that.
John, do you want Mike Holmgren?
I would love to have Mike Holmgren as a
coach. So would I.
Really?
He's Vince Lombardi compared to who's in there now.
Crazy. Well, yeah, he's better than Tom Sula. Doesn't mean he's the answer.
He's been to a Super Bowl.
Oh, man, look what he did. Look what he did.
He won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. I would much rather have Mike Holmgren.
Let's set up the interview now then, John. I mean, if you got that on your resume.
You two. Next time you two are doing a show, then you two can talk about that.
Oh, God.
I am out on the Mike Holmgren talk.
Tell me why.
Thank you for the phone call, John.
Well, they denied it. They didn't deny him.
How old is he?
Oh, look at this guy.
He was on with Pop in Lund like a year ago and said that he got stopped and he was asked if he was like the diabetes guy. Who's the diabetes guy?
I don't want to know.
Check your diabetes or whatever.
All right.
He's 67.
That's like 47 in the coaching ranks.
No. Give me a 47-year-old. That's what I want.
Well, you had one. He's Harbaugh.
Yeah, he's gone. He gone. doing very well in Michigan, by the way.
I got some breaking bad news about the game.
Breaking bad news. Yeah, what's that?
Steph hit a three right before half at the buzzer, and Green sprained his ankle.
Okay.
The injury bug is maybe their only opponent this season.
Normally I get mad at you when you bring up the game that we're not supposed to talk about.
But that's big, yeah.
But, Draymond Thompson Green, is he out for the game?
Yeah.
He is?
Well, how about I don't know?
Well, they're up two. They can win without it.
They're up two.
They can. Coming up next, we got to get into it. Marcel Reese, probably the best Raiders player for a long time for your silver and black.
I don't know if that's
pop for some worthy. PEDs.
Yeah.
Got to get into that. We'll take your phone calls, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, text line 95795. Daryl the Guru Johnson, Zachariah, 95.7 the game.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.